Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." May God bless to our understanding these readings from God's word. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. We sang that loud and proud in Sunday school when I was young. We had no idea who Zacchaeus was, but we loved getting to sing a song that made fun of a short guy. We weren't bullying anyone exactly, and we were children, so we were all short. But the lesson, for those who didn't grow tall and for the rest of us, was there. Bullying, which is such a social problem in our time and in our school, begins with something simple like that and gets taken to extremes by some who feed on the pleasure of putting someone else down. Zacchaeus must have been remarkably short for Luke to have written down this detail about him. It seems he was a first century scapegoat, the guy everyone got to pick on. And that may be why he became a chief tax collector for the Roman Empire. As Caesar's tax collector, he finally got some respect, even if it was the grudging kind. People detested paying Roman taxes, but Zacchaeus had Roman soldiers to back him up, so no one was going to be surly with him or beat him up when he came around to collect. Tax collectors, as we learned in last week's sermon, generally had a reputation for pocketing a sizable amount of what they had collected. It was one of the perks of the job to add on a hefty surtax for yourself. So when Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house for lunch that day, which was pretty hard for the townspeople to watch Jesus do, Zacchaeus piped right up, saying he had never cheated folks, and that he would repay them fourfold. And he said he would tithe half of what he earned. And Jesus believed him. Salvation, Jesus said, had come to this house. Saints are people who are windows in this world. The light of God shines through them so brightly that people say that they have seen salvation in them and in the household of their lives. A remarkable thing about saints historically is that many were scapegoats early in their lives, bullied and called contemptible by folks around them. Saint Francis of Assisi's father dragged him into court in the town square, enraged because his son had secretly arranged to steal his father's valuable assets and give them to monks to sell for support of the poor. He was found guilty. Then, as a monk himself, he angered the local bishops by creating his own worship services, which were designed for both people and the animals he loved. Saint Teresa of Avila was considered a nut and a troublemaker in the church, way too outspoken for a woman in her day, and was shocking in her opinions. Juliana of Norwich lost her entire family to the plague and had visions so extraordinary no one knew what to make of them. Mother Teresa expressed her strong doubts about God in writing. She confessed that the primary reason she became a nun was to escape life in her small town in Skopje, Macedonia. Oscar Schindler, who saved Jews from death in World War II Germany, was a Nazi, a womanizer, and a drunk, who used his popular and deserved reputation as a scoundrel as a cover for what he was doing in secret. And Nelson Mandela was considered a public enemy by the government of South Africa, which put him into jail for 27 years, all of which he was a beacon of hope for black South Africans. Like Zacchaeus, these saints and so many others flouted public conventions in ways that were painful for them, but also allowed them to let God's light into this world. Jesus, throughout the Gospel of Luke, has held up people most folks found repulsive: lost sheep, prodigal sons, the lame, the lepers, the dishonest steward, the repugnant poor man lying in a stupor covered with sores, and for 2 weeks now in our lectionary texts, dislikable tax collectors, urging us to look into them and discover their saintly light. Most of us, and I include myself, prefer our saints to be heroic. We edit their stories to the nub of their heroism. We tell ourselves that athletes can be our heroes, or decorated soldiers, dancing movie stars, the beautiful and the well-dressed. We love Mandela washed up and in a suit, but in his prison garb and with educated South African whites warning us of his dangerousness, he was alarming to white Christians. Mother Teresa's honest writings have been alarming to many devout Catholics, and St. Francis of Assisi, for talking with animals, was alarming to his bishop. Most of us are aware of the tragedies wrought by bullies among us who succumb to their humiliation and mistreatment. The young who are often bullied for being gay or unathletic or different or foreign or members of other faiths, who are socially inept or unattractive, are too often driven to despair by this. What Jesus treasures in the despised is their ability to hang on, to survive with a part of their own humanity intact, despite the way they have been treated by the world. This part of themselves becomes their shining light, becomes the window of their soul, and a lighted path for all of our souls. And by choosing no others to hold up than these, who have been despised and ignored, Jesus is teaching that the saints do not come into this world apart from their suffering. Nor will we be able to find the light of God in our own lives apart from our own. For the saints of old and the saints of today, which we remember and honor on this All Saints Sunday, are not among us to show us the way into an easy, comfortable life. They are here to show us how to keep going in deep darkness, how to survive the bullies, how to have hope in mean-spirited times. No wonder, then, that we celebrate the saints in the darkness of shortened days and colder weather, a time they understand well, a darkness in which they shine. Amen.